Morning, church. Thank you, Phil, for reading the scripture, Simon, for leading us thus far on the team in worship. And as we gather together on the Lord's Day, it's so good, isn't it, that we can have the Lord's word before us and we can spend time in the word this morning. Hopefully you received one of these sheets when you came into church this morning. If you're anything like me, if I'm on a Sunday and at the end of the week, I'm thinking about the messages that I've heard the previous week, I like to take notes, but sometimes my memory is not that great, and a little prompt to go back to the notes or whatever. So maybe if you're struggling to remember what you heard this morning, then this sheet can be a prompt later in the week. We've got an exciting passage of scripture before us this morning. If we know anything about the life of King David, then we will know that he was a man after God's own heart. And there is probably no other human being recorded in scripture that compare with David. Such was his standing. He was truly a mighty man of God, and he did great exploits for God and for Israel. But this mighty man of God had many ups and downs in his life, and many of his faults and his failures and his successes are recorded in Scripture for us to learn from and about. And David's life is set forth as an example, not for us to condemn him in those times of failure and when he succeeds, but as an example of when things happen in the lives of believers that we can learn from such experiences. And we know that David was anointed king of Israel. And at that moment of our scripture, I'm sure David was on top of the world. He was to become one of the most wealthy and one of the most powerful kings the world had seen. And in verse 10, earlier in this chapter, we see that David felt quite secure. It says, so David went on and became great. In many ways, he was depending at that moment in time on his own strength to defeat the enemies. And the Philistines were there in, one could say, overwhelming force. The Bible says that they were spread out over the valley of Rephaim, which means the valley of the giants. And David was quite fearful. And this was his first big test. And there was no time to hide. But just to put this into context, David had just taken the throne of Israel. And the Philistines think that this new king and his divided monarchy will be easy pickings. And so they attack Israel in verses 17 and 18. And God gives Israel the victory. But the Philistines were not totally defeated. And so they come up against Israel again. And David turns to the Lord once more to really seek the Lord's direction. And instead of telling David to attack, God commands David to lead the Israelites in like a flanking maneuver to go around the Philistines and wait and stand. In my version, it says the mulberry trees. And when David hears the sound of the marching in the top of the mulberry trees, he will know it's the very time to attack. The phrase, the sound of marching, literally means the noise of marching. And it refers to that clank and clatter of the army on the move. It speaks of the pounding of feet and the rattle of equipment. And many believe that God is simply saying here that he will send a wind to stir the sound of the trees, as it were, the top of the trees, to let David know that it's time for action. This morning, I would like us to focus on the wind in this passage. We all know that wind can either be beneficial or harmful. We know what a good wind is. We know what a bad wind is. On Thursday evening, I was at a dinner in London, fairly near St. Paul's. And after the dinner, I wasn't able to get a taxi back to my hotel in Blackfriars. So I walked, and I had to go over the Millennium Bridge. Now, Thursday was a very hot day in London, very hot. And it was a hot evening. But going over the bridge, it was very windy. And the wind was nice and cool. And on that hot day, that wind was so refreshing. Good winds scatter seeds upon the earth. Good winds help dry the earth after times of the flood. We know the phrase, a fair wind, is used often in times of peace and blessing and calm. On the other hand, we know what harmful winds can do. You know, it can affect property and lives. And we've all seen the devastation that the winds of tornadoes and hurricanes can have. And most will remember last November on the island, we experienced that hurricane. And Jersey actually had that tornado, which devastated property and lives. The phrase, a bad wind, is often used to speak of a time of hardship or trouble or turmoil. And the wind in these verses signaled the arrival of the Lord in a time of trouble. And often we can find ourselves trapped in the windy seasons of life. And when the winds of adversity and affliction blow against our lives, our tendency is to become filled with anxiety and fear. However, the winds of life should not fill us with fear, but with faith. This morning, I would like to look at some of these blessings of the winds in our lives. And the first one is to do with the wind revealing God's purpose. David went out before the Lord in prayer for this second battle, just as he had done on the first time. And David knew better through some very hard lessons and defeats than to presume to attack the Philistines just as he had done in that earlier occasion. Those past battle plans might not work in the future. You know, we can rest assured this morning that Satan is a very smart enemy. It says in Revelation 13 and 13, he performs great signs so that he even makes the fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth. The enemy is always learning. He knows every trick in the book and has experienced every strategy that we can imagine. Friends, Satan can outsmart me this morning, but he can't outsmart my God, our God. That's why David went back to God for direction and purpose. And that's why we must be forever in prayer, seeking direction from God for every facet of life. You know, the devil will never stop attacking us as long as we have breath. But we can thank God this morning that our God never sleeps, he never slumbers, and will hear every cry that his children would come to him. And he would fight for us and give us a new battle plan as the wind of the Spirit would lead. And in our scripture, God told David to circle around behind the Philistines. And it seemed to the Philistines as though Israel was retreating as an army, marching away from the battlefield. But God's instruction to David was very simple. Leave the battle line in front of the Philistines, circle around behind and wait for those mulberry trees. When you hear the rustle, then it's time for action. And that wind blew through those mulberry trees and it caused those leaves to rustle. And that would be David's signal to get his army ready and to go out and do battle with the Philistines. The Holy Spirit was blowing. The Holy Spirit was moving across the tops of those trees. And as that Spirit blew in the top of those trees, it caused anxiety in the hearts of the Philistines. It struck terror into them. And as the Philistine camp were defeated, they fled. And this time the war was over because Israel's victory was complete. David adhered to the instruction of the Lord. And he was able, as we know, that the Ark of the Covenant was safely returned to the camp and David's army. Secondly, the wind shows God's presence. The sound of the wind was the signal that God was present with his people to lead them into victory in verse 24. Often the Bible uses the wind to picture the presence of God. God rides the winds. In Psalm 104, it says this: he lays the beams of his upper chambers in the waters, who makes his clouds his chariot, who walks on the wings of the wind. You know, God showed up in the winds on that storm in Galilee. It says that the disciples were rowing on the lake and they were struggling against the wind. And Jesus walked on the water and told his disciples, "Don't be afraid, I am here." We know that God showed up in the winds, in the storms of Paul's life in many occasions. That shipwreck, in the middle of the storm, an angel appeared to Paul and told him not to be afraid. Friends, the wind may be blowing in our lives this morning, but it does not mean that God has forsaken us. The very thing that we fear may be the very thing that proves God's presence. presence. It says in Joshua 1 and verse 5, we know it so well, I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. The wind there was the sign that God was going to be with his people. As the promise of the Lord unto Joshua, I will be with you. And so God says to us this morning, I am with you. And what a promise that is for the people of God. When the Lord is moving with his people, and his people are moving with the Lord, victory will result. It says in Romans 8:37, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. Friends, this morning, God can lead us through the storm to those calm waters on the other side. Isaiah 43 and 2, we know so well. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. What a promise for us this morning. Yes, the wind may be blowing. It may be blowing strongly in our lives this morning. And the outcome for us may be very doubtful, but we are to put our faith in God, who rides the winds to give us the victory in his time and in his way. No wind, regardless of how foul it may be, can deter our God in keeping his promises to us. His promises, his presence, his peace, his provision, his forgiveness, his grace, his blessing, his joy, says in Romans 4 and 21, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. The promises of God, friends, are wonderful. When I arrived at Victoria Station on Friday afternoon, a girl came up to me and she was crying. The last three nights she had had nowhere to stay and she was living rough, and she asked if I could help her. And in my bag I've always got some things ready for such instances, and I gave her a couple of things, one of which was a card about homelessness, a Christian tract. And I explained that we were on a journey, but we were never alone on the journey of life because God is with us. And she was called KC, and she said this, and I was so interested in what Simon was saying about thinking back to Sunday school years. And she said this, that what you have just said is what my grandmother told me when I went to Sunday school lots of years ago. And I said, Casey, can I pray for you? And she agreed. And there in the station, I prayed for her. Now, I don't know what it was like for her, but I felt an amazing sense of the presence of God come upon us in the station. And I prayed that God would keep his promises to KC, and that even in her homelessness, on the streets, she would know God's presence. Yes, God's presence are wonderful. And then we see the wind shows God's power. When the wind came, the Lord came. And then the victory came. We see that in verse 25. God led David and his men to a great victory by God's great power. And when the winds of adversity blow in our lives, we can be assured, friends, that God will show up at that moment of need. God used the winds to dry up the waters after the flood. God used the wind to bring the plague of locusts on the Egyptians. God used the wind to part the Red Sea so that the Israelites could pass through. God used the wind to blow quail into the camp of Israel. And God used the wind to teach Paul about faith. And the winds that are sent into our lives do not come to destroy us. It may appear that they will, but God sends them to teach us about his purposes and his power in our lives. God is not trying to hurt us. God is trying to grow us. And the fifth point this morning is that the wind strengthens his people. When the wind came, David was to advance quickly. In another translation, you might have the word bestir. Bestir means to be decisive, to take quick action. The presence of the wind declared the presence of the Lord and the absolute promise of victory for Israel. And David was to move very quickly when the wind was to blow. Sometimes in life we dither, but when God speaks, we should respond quickly. Instead of living in fear of winds of diversity or adversity and affliction, we should consider them as blessings in disguise. When the wind begins to blow, they merely remind us that God is near. God is working, and victory is just around the corner. The greatest time, friends, to serve God is not when everything is calm. God's glory shines brightest in the midst of the storm. And we must remember that both the battle and the storm belongs to the Lord. It says in 1 Samuel 17, the battle is the Lord. And so in conclusion, and the last slide please, Jason, we need the wind of the Holy Spirit in us and in this church. And if we are to seek the moving of the Spirit in our hearts and in the church, we need to have that right experience inwardly before we can go out into the world and face opposition. As Friday morning in men's prayer, Steve reminded us of the occasion in Acts 4 when the believers were praying, and the Bible says that the place shook. Do we expect things to shake when we come together to pray? We have to realize time and time again what Zechariah recorded. And he said this: not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Simon, as our pastor, needs the sound of marching to lead this church into a deeper place in the Lord. The elders need the sound of marching to lead this church in the things of God. The deacons need the sound of marching to lead this church in practical ways to serve the Lord. We all need the sound of marching if we are to grow in our faith in the Lord Jesus. And it was the sound of marching that blew through the upper room on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon those people. This morning, I'm looking and I'm listening for that sound of marching. I'm listening for the wind of the Spirit to blow upon us. Friends, can you hear it this morning? Listen. With your spiritual hearing, can you hear the sound of marching? David waited for the sound of marching by the side of the mulberry trees, and then he went out to do battle. And like David, we all need that fresh power from the Lord. May God help us in these days to listen for the sound of marching in the mulberry trees, and then to move as the Lord directs. If we need strength this morning, if we need protection this morning, if we need support against the winds of life, well, let's come to God and receive from Him this morning. We're going to pray. I want us to pray for our church.